Hi guys, welcome to Fat Mascara. I am Jen, like I'm always Jen.
I'm Jessica, how are you?
I'm good, how are you, Jessica?
I'm well.
Excellent, I hear we have some exciting news.
We have a lot of exciting news today. Let's get some big announcements out of the way. So listen up real close. Davinez, hit it.
Oh, I was talking about our exciting news.
Oh, okay, I was being very...
humble?
I was being humble, but
stop
let's not.
Stop being humble.
Okay, guys, I really, really, really... I'm so excited about this. You have no idea.
I know.
And I'm just going to be kind of honest and ask for your support here, okay? I'm going to ask you for a Fat Mascara fave, FM fave. We are nominated by the Fragrance Foundation. This is a huge honor. This is a tremendous organization in the beauty industry. We are nominated for the... as an influencer, a consumer.
Fragrance influencer of the
fragrance
year.
Fragrance influencer. I can't even speak because I'm so like tripping all over myself.
You guys should have seen her in the office when we found out. She came running over to me, holding her phone, waving it around like, we're nominated for fragrance.
I mean, it's a huge honor.
I know there's other big names in the beauty world alongside us.
Yes.
We're not going to mention them because we don't want you to vote for them. And that's the thing. You can vote for us. It's a consumer choice award.
So you have the power in your hands to make Fat Mascara part of fragrance history. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you.
What's the website? Where do they go to vote?
Okay, so it's vote.fragrance.org. Again, vote.fragrance.org.
You'll have to vote for three questions, like perfumes that you like. Vote for those two.
Yeah.
And then who is your influencer of the year? And you go to Fat Mascara and you fill in a little bullet hole and you say, them, please.
It literally takes like 15 seconds.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
And you will have our love forever and ever. And that's basically it. But thank you so much. And we'll also put the link on our blog and on the top of our Instagram.
Absolutely. And another little piece of housekeeping. We wanted to remind you, we're having an Earth Day after party. That was the worst song I've ever sang. Davinus and Fat Mascara are having a listener party in New York City on April 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. The address is on 23rd Street. You can go on our website and get all the details. Jess, tell the people what the party will have.
The party is going to have slow food snacks. That's my favorite part.
You led with the snacks. I love it. Slow wine. Dry hairstyling.
There's a skin regimen from Davinez that I'm very interested in. There's going to be a skin regimen station. But you're going to actually also get to chat and hang with some other Fat Mascara fans.
That's the best part.
That's really the best part. That and the snacks.
Oh, you know what else is the best part, which we forgot to mention last week?
This was the biggie.
The gift bag.
And the gift bag is like worth a hefty sum.
It's like... $60 worth of products.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So go to fatmascara.com/Davinez, which is Davines, and you can apply.
It's Italian for fancy.
It's Italian for fancy. You can apply to have a ticket. We have 50 to give away, and we'll let you know by April 16th or 17th so that you can join us on April 23rd. One more thing. I've got a present. Do you know about my present?
No.
I got a present for the listeners.
Oh.
If you don't, even if you do a ticket, we've got a discount code for Davinez for you.
Yeah, maybe you don't work in the New York. Maybe you don't live and work in the New York City area. Maybe you don't. We don't get picked. I mean, I wish everyone could come.
That's right. We have a code. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping at Davinez.com with the code FatMascaraShip, all one word, FatMascara, and then ship. And you guys can get 20% off all their products, which are amazing. May I suggest the Essential Hair Collection? Monu? How do you say it? Monu? Monu?
Nunu.
Nunu. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that
one. Really hydrating blue one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Personal fave. Anyway, so there's your discount code. Go online and get your tickets. I think we're done with all of our announcements.
Oh, you know which product I like from them?
Oh, what?
The oil.
Oh, yes.
Fat Mascara, previous guest Olivia Wilde recommended that in Harper's Bazaar.
It's a gorgeous hair oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all about Davinez. Hope to see you there. Use the code. Mwah.
Now.
All right. Let's talk topics. Here's what we're talking about today. One, Dove has released a new campaign. Jen and I have been on the kind of the ground floor of this. So we've been holding out. We've been so excited to share this with you. So we'll discuss that. Then... we're going to talk about eye cream if you have sensitive eyes. This topic comes up constantly. You've been DMing about it. You've been IMing about it. You've been Facebooking about it. Let's talk.
Jess has answers. Then speaking of answers, Oh my gosh, this interview I think has been our most requested topic. Am I wrong? Hair loss and hair thinning. We are going to get into everything with Dr. Doris Day. She's the dermatologist who is basically the expert on hair loss. And you're going to learn a lot in this episode.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. So Dove is often known for its marketing campaigns that help real women boost their confidence, right? The Real Beauty campaign back in the day. Mm-hmm. Remember when they did the criminal sketches where, like, you had to describe to a criminal sketch artist what you looked like? And when we described ourselves, it was like a janky monster is what they drew.
I did that with my friend Deandra at Cosmo.
Yeah.
And we still, like, we laughed about that photo, about my sketch for, like, a week.
Wait, you – what happened? You described yourself?
Yeah.
And an artist drew it?
No, I did it of myself. I don't guess it's like a take. But it's kind of like what you women's perceptions of what they look like.
Oh, like you just drew yourself looking like...
I drew myself how I thought I looked. And then she was like, Jessica. And we like LOL'd forever.
Okay, it would also be funny because you're not really like an artist. So like maybe that, I don't know.
It was a very...
I need to see this picture.
I can do it again for you after class, but it was very, very funny. But yes, Dove taps into what women really think about themselves or how they want to feel about themselves.
Okay, so they found out that 70% of women still don't feel represented in media and advertising, which I totally understand. So they joined up with Girl Gaze and Getty Images, the huge stock image house.
Can we talk about what Girl Gaze is? Because most people don't know
what is Girl Gaze?
Girl Gaze is run by the gorgeous, fabulous, like, Shiro Amanda Decadenet, or Decadenet, I don't know how you pronounce her last name. She is a photographer, writer, had this amazing talk show that no longer exists, and she is just kind of a feminist icon. And she said, hey, there is not enough representation in photography, and she does...
For women,
for
female
women.
Photographers.
So Girl Gaze is like, instead of the male gaze, it's girls with their cameras taking photos of, you know, people doing cool stuff. What does the female gaze look like? Carry on.
So they joined up all together and built an entire new stock library of imagery shot by women and of women who typically don't feel represented in media. Mm-hmm. And then they let the women tag their own photos. So, you know, when you're searching and you want to search for a redhead or whatever you want to search for, you know, it would be the male photographer.
Mom, single yeah. lady.
Or curvy girl, skinny girl. You don't know. It's whatever the male photographer.
Yoga.
Right. What they thought is what would come up. And so, of course, someone's making an ad. They put in, oh, we need healthy lady. And up comes the skinny white lady in yoga pants, right? Because that's the image that was
making
there.
Making a smoothie.
Making a smoothie. So the whole goal of this project is now let's do healthy or maybe or whatever your things are and you search mm-hmm. for. And there are all these amazing photos of amazing women all over the world from like dozens of countries. And hopefully media and advertising will start to use them and we'll all start to feel more represented in imagery. Isn't that cool?
I think it's great. And Jen, as you know, you look for imagery all the time at work. So do I. There's so much great imagery in the world, but when it comes to looking for women doing things, it weirdly, the well runs dry pretty quickly with, you know, search engines and all that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's for lack of women actually doing these things. Or
it's for lack of the stock images.
Yeah, it's the stock imagery. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing they're hoping to gain, which we asked you guys about on a poll on our Instagram story, is that 68% of women say that they feel pressure from media and ads and it gives them beauty anxiety.
Well, say the question that you asked them.
I will. I was about to.
Oh, sorry.
I was telling you how much okay. in a regular world.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, wait, do our listeners also feel that these previous to this project, that images and media made them feel beauty anxiety, like, I don't look pretty enough yeah. or whatever. So our listeners, I asked them, do media and advertising images give you beauty anxiety? It matched up almost exactly with the rest of the world. 69% of you said yes, they do.
I have to tell you, I was pretty surprised. I don't want to say shocked, but I was surprised. What was your feeling?
I was too, because I felt, I don't know if it would be higher or lower, but because we're all beauty people and we all like beauty, if you listen to this podcast,
yeah.
I feel like you know the secret sauce behind and you know not to get anxious because it's all, you know the people, you've met them on our podcast that make these women look gorgeous and not normal. You know about retouching. We've told you about the tricks of makeup and hairstyling. So wouldn't you be less anxious?
That was my feeling too. I thought
yeah.
that, you know, our podcast is...
pulls back the curtain a little.
It pulls back the curtain. It's you know, I think all of you listeners, and this is not a judgment call, I think you're so savvy. I think you're so, I really think I may
smart.
Be unbiased, but I feel like we have the best listeners, the smartest beauty fans in the world. I think we really have a special audience. So I was really gutted to hear that, you know, 7 out of 10 of you feel badly
when you look at images.
Yeah. And especially, you know, as somebody who works in beauty media, it makes me sad.
I know we got to do better. I feel like this project will help everybody do
yeah.
better. I really hope that number in like 5 years is not as high.
Now, I want to ask a follow-up question.
Yes.
We should do this after this. What do you want to see more of? Because the Dove project is great because it touches upon, you know, it's
different activities. We're not just sitting there looking sexy. Different
yeah.
body shapes.
Different body shapes, you know, different sexualities. The panel this morning, because there was an event to celebrate this, one of the girls who's in, she shoots for Girl Gaze, and she also is a subject of the
one
of the pictures. She said, she's like, I'm a gender nonconforming, queer, black woman. But I also wonder, like, what are the other things that we're not showing? That's just one specific
yeah.
example.
She on purpose tagged herself that because she wanted to make sure that other people like her would see themselves in the
yes.
in the group of images. So, okay, we'll do a follow-up poll on Instagram to ask people what kind of imagery they want to see more of.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see more of?
Yeah.
This will be interesting.
Yeah. It's a really cool project. Jen did stuff and Marie Claire for this project. You'll see it in Harper's Bazaar. It's both
we're going to start
May
using
issues.
The images in our media.
Yeah. So very cool. Hats off, Dove. Hats off, Girl Gaze and Getty.
Jess.
Yes.
Let's talk about eyes.
Okay. Let's talk about eyes. This topic, I have to say, this topic does not get old.
Never.
So we're not done talking about eyes after this. And I'm sure there's going to be a new eye question after we're done. That Shireen Idris episode did really well, by the way.
Our eye episode?
Oh, yeah. All about eyes.
I think it's like the number two most popular
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, it's the number two and number one. I don't know. But anyway, clearly the questions are still coming. One of the questions that came up was if you – this came up in several different areas. you're so sensitive to all eye creams that you can't do anything about it. There's nothing, you cannot treat your eyes. You are destined for a life of wrinkly ass crow's feet because you're so sensitive and there's nothing you can use. So I talked to my...
I think what Jess is trying to say, what do I do if I have sensitive skin but I still want to use an eye cream?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. So I spoke to my gal, Ranella Hirsch. She is a fabulous dermatologist up at Cambridge and she gives it to you real straight. So this is over email. She gave me a lot of notes. I'm going to be honest. It's been wild. So I'm just kind of combing through them, but I'm going to give you the best.
We're busy, guys. We're busy.
Yeah, this is like, I mean, like, I feel like Ebenezer Scrooge here with all my like rolls of paper. You know what I mean?
Weird reference, but okay.
It is weird. Yeah, I guess.
What does Ranella say about eye cream?
So here we go. She wanted to know, first of all, are there any underlying health issues besides like sensitive skin? Could you have eczema? Could you have eye issues? Could you have allergies?
Oh, you don't have answers. You have more questions, huh? It's time to go to the derm right away.
No, she just needs to, you need to
just
think.
Be aware.
Yeah, these are some questions. She would not just like tell the person, oh, like sensitive skin, use this. Like it's, there's some,
okay,
some questions first. Okay. Then also it's possible. It's very, she said super, if they're reporting itchy, puffy eyes, it's possible that they have allergies.
Right.
Okay. Then I like this one. What else is happening to the face? Are they somebody who's using false eyelashes? Are they using a lot of skincare like masks?
She's okay. Saying, she's like, what's the cause of the sensitivity before we start?
Even something like hot yoga or like steam rooms.
That can cause your skin to become sensitive?
Yep.
Remember when you thought you were allergic to yoga last year because you were getting like all red and itchy?
Yeah, my skin, when I exercise, my skin is totally sensitive for like a month.
Interesting.
I'm not joking. When I'm exercising, I have to completely change my skincare routine.
Okay.
And also, if you switch around products a lot, you can get really sensitive. She said that. She said people who try a lot of new things. She goes, regular Sephora shoppers who try a lot of new things. She knows
you know who you are.
She knows her patients.
It's all of you listening.
Okay. Then she said, it sounds wild, but people have different exposures in their work, hobbies, or lifestyles may have different reasons for irritation. She said that she had this crazy, smart, fabulous woman. I wish you guys knew Ranella because I can hear her saying this. She's very like, just like, I'm going to give it to you straight. She's like your best friend. She said when she noticed this woman, when she was telling her how much everything irritated her eyes, she had fabulous nail art. Well, the problem was that her eyes were getting irritated from her rubbing her eyes with the backs of her. Intern Tiff is giving me a knowing nod.
It makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
You have acrylic gels on there, some new shellac, a rhinestone.
Well, intern Tiff has great nails.
No, I meant the Ranella Hirsch
patient. Yes. Oh, no, I know you did. I was just, we were all in agreement at the table,
right.
Jen.
Okay.
Okay. And then also your cleanser goes everywhere on your face. Your cleanser could have some incidental ingredients as well. So really don't just blame the eye cream. You need to think back up big picture. Big
so pair
picture.
Back, stop trying a bunch of different products, get a nice gentle cleanser, and then really assess if you truly are that sensitive.
Right.
And then, if you are?
Well, if you are, some people like in the chat room, they keep calling it the chat room, in the Facebook group, which you have to get in on it if you're not there already, the Facebook chat room, Facebook, private Facebook group, go on our Instagram. We have a link there. Also go on our blog and you can get a link there. Lots of great chatter about products. Aquaphor is recommended by a lot of different people. When I mentioned that to her, she said there are a lot of good products that hydrate and soothe at all price points. She wasn't like over the moon about it. I said, what about Vaseline? She said, same thing. But she said, I love her. Any doctor worth their salt will tell you that patients teach them new stuff every day. So really, it's about what works for you. But I would definitely try Vaseline and Aquaphor just to kind of soothe and kind of, you know, calm the area.
Mm-hmm. And it hydrates. And remember,
Vaseline doesn't hydrate because it's occlusive.
But it makes the lines, if wrinkles is the issue, they actually do look less noticeable moisturized.
Yeah,
that
they'll
way,
look
when
like,
the skin is like able to repair itself.
Yeah, it'll look less like, you know, crinkly and dry. That is like the most gentle thing you can use. But just look at the big picture first.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
We are here with Dr. Doris Day, the wonderful Dr. Doris Day, one of the leading dermatologists in New York. She's also an expert source on hair loss, a topic that we know you've all been dying to hear about. Finally, she's here. We've been trying to get her for a while. Welcome, Dr. Doris Day.
It's so good to be here with you. I actually wasn't sure this was a podcast, so I did makeup for you. So you can't see me, but I have full makeup.
She looks amazing.
She looks gorgeous. Okay, so I was so excited to have you here because I knew that you'd be a great source to speak to about hair thinning. You know, both Jen and I have interviewed you a ton over the years about this topic, but I just want to back up for a second. You know, why are you a great source for hair thinning? I just kind of always understood that you were because it's like, my beauty editor taught me that you are a great, you know, it's like it's been passed down.
Yeah, but you're a dermatologist, which is skin, right?
But like, why? But I think a lot of people wouldn't know that. Like, you know, maybe they think they need to go to a hair doctor, not
you're
a dermatologist.
You're absolutely right. And it happened a little bit by accident and a little bit on purpose. So what happened was, for me, it's partly personal because everybody in my family goes bald. So I had hair issues. My daughter used to call me Baldy when I was, you know, when she was like four. Not to be mean, but because I had hair issues. So
really?
It's always somewhat personal. Look, I'm a woman. I'm getting older. I'm sensitive to appearance, too. And I started out in internal medicine and then in journalism, then internal medicine. Then I did dermatology. And going through that, I always look beyond the skin to see what's going on. So the skin is my best tool. When I see hair issues, I know that there's something else going on. And my goal is to get to the bottom of it. And because it was personal for me, because I know the value and the power of hair as how it affects our self-esteem. So when patients come in and complain about hair, even if I can't tell yet that they're losing hair, I know that they know themselves and they know their hair and they have a problem and I need to listen and I need to help them stay ahead of it. Because the reality is that by the time anyone else notices that you've lost hair, you've lost 30 to 40% of your hair. And that's not okay. So we need to be ahead of it because the sooner we start, the more of your hair we can maintain and enhance and save.
So if you think, if somebody who's listening to this podcast, if they think, if they have, they know themselves, if they think they're losing their hair, who should they run to though? Should they run to a derm or is there another kind of doctor?
No, you run to a dermatologist, but I will tell you that for most dermatologists, it's the bane of our existence. Like in our dermatology groups, when we joke amongst ourselves, we talk about a patient who comes in and they have, like, you do a skin cancer screening, acne, all these different things. And then as you're ready to leave and walk out the door and they go, oh, and by the way, I also have hair loss. And that's when we want to kill ourselves because hair loss is really hard. And the reason that it's so hard is because it's normal to shed hair every day. So that's one thing. Two is that many more people feel like they have a hair issue than really have a hair issue. There are days and times of the year and times of your life you will shed more, and that hair will grow back. Your hair also changes as you age. So your hair when you're little is fine, it may be curly, and then it grows in thick. And then as you get older, the density and the volume changes, and we don't take that change well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of change that's physical. There's a lot of change that's emotional that happens with hair. And as dermatologists, we can address what we see physically, but I have patients who come in who are so obsessed with their hair and their hair loss that they almost can't function. Mm-hmm. So I actually wrote a book called Beyond Beautiful, and one of the most critical sections of the book is about hair. And it talks about the connection between people who tend to notice that they have hair shedding or hair loss and what it means beyond the hair. So my observation of 20 years of looking at people and watching what goes on, I can fix it medically and address it medically, but the emotional side is really powerful. My observation has been that people with hair issues tend to be capable people who are ambitious. I know I'm generalizing and I'm not analyzing anyone, but the commonality in that person who is really focused on their hair loss, whether or not it's obvious to anyone else, are people capable, ambitious, usually like a type A type of personality.
Yeah.
And what happens is they're literally pulled in too many directions. And these are people who have family and boyfriends or girlfriends and work and all these different things pulling them. They can do all those things. They don't necessarily want to. And they're giving so much of themselves. And focusing on their hair takes their energy away from focusing on their life. So some of what I do is dealing with the hair. And some of what I do is putting the connection into perspective.
So it's like you have to be a psychologist, too.
Well, I have to be a full doctor. Yeah. So part of being a full doctor is taking care of the full person. And that includes the mind. But I'm not a psychologist and I'm not trying to analyze people. But I'm trying to help people understand the connection between appearance and health and well-being. And those connections are important.
Can we work from – we assume that our listeners are obviously going to take that in as part of your advice. But let's – also talk about the physical thing.
Absolutely.
As far as like, listen, this woman or man knows their hair is gone. Other people have noticed it. We're at a point where we're beyond the emotional state of it.
Well, we need both.
Yeah.
So we take the physical.
So what are some of the causes, though, other than obviously cortisol influx because you're stressed and pulled in a million directions?
Right. So there are the most common cause is going to be a stress shedding.
Right.
So the stress shedding is not a true loss. It's called telogen effluvium. And that's because that's a particular part of the hair growth cycle. So your hair grows for 2 to 10 years on your scalp, obviously not on your brows or underarms or legs. That would be horrible. But your scalp hair cycle is the growing phase. The anagen phase is 2 to 10 years. The resting or telogen phase is 3 to 4 months. And then there's the shedding phase, which is a few weeks, the catagen phase. So then it comes back around and it starts to grow. So at any given time, 90% randomly over your scalp, it's not any one part of your scalp, but 90% is in the growing phase. 10% is sitting in that that resting phase, and then it falls out and it grows back. So that resting phase, we guess, is about 100 to 150 hairs, because you think of like how many hair follicles, you have about 100,000. So then you have about 100 to 150 hairs that are getting ready to fall out. So at any given time. So what happens is that when you go through a stress, a major physiologic stress, a breakup, a marriage, a divorce, a death, childbirth, chemo, all these different things that put your body into a state of some type of shock.
Anesthesia, I've heard.
Anesthesia,
too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Medications. All those things can force up to 30 to 40% of your hair to synchronously move out of that anagen or growing phase into the resting phase all
wow.
at once. So that means over the next 3 to 4 months, you can shed up to 30 to 40% of your hair.
But that's almost a good thing, because that means it's going to get back in the other
right.
phase.
So it's not true loss.
So this isn't the kind that isn't reversible.
Right. But the problem is that once you go into that stress cycle,
mm-hmm.
so if you keep on having major stresses,
mm-hmm.
right, either whether it's over your hair or you have yo-yo dieting or, you know, you just keep going through stresses, divorces, all these changes in life can take time. They don't just happen in a moment and then they end. Then you can have a chronic telogen effluvium, and that ends up being a net loss.
So can you ever bounce back?
You can, but you have to address that underlying source, which goes back to that emotional side too. So that's why it's always making that connection. And I get that from patients all the time. They get anxious because they get, okay, I'll deal with the emotional side, but tell me what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that unless you get both sides in. So I always tell them what they can do. For the telogen effluvium, you obviously have to get over the stress. So childbirth passes, you know, that comes back
mm-hmm.
around. If it's a medication, you can try switching. If it's a life event, you can learn to manage it differently, because it's not just about having stress. It's how you manage the stress.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make choices about doing meditation or understanding that that is a connection that's driving it and finding ways to break that connection. So if that's telogen effluvium, that's one type. There's an autoimmune type where we see either discrete round patches. That's called alopecia areata. And that can happen at any age. It's autoimmune. So your body's immune system, for some reason, decides that the hair follicles are foreign invaders and must be attacked.
Wow.
And they knock out those hair follicles. Why it does it in round circles? I don't know. It's a UFO type of thing.
Is it
I
rare
don't know.
Or no?
It's very common.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen in childhood. Unfortunately, if it happens at a younger age, it has a slightly greater chance of becoming universal.
Is this why some children have those patches? Like, I feel like I see this a lot on like little kids.
Yeah, you can see it in little kids, and it can become alopecia totalis or alopecia universalis. So alopecia totalis is all the hair on your head, and alopecia universalis is all the hair on the body.
Mm-hmm.
And we are coming up with treatments for that. So what happened is that this guy who had had alopecia universalis for like 7 or more years also had some arthritis, and he was put on this drug, which is called a JAK inhibitor. It's called Xeljanz. It's a brand name. So he was put on that medication for his arthritis, and all his hair grew back.
Wow.
All his hair, 7 years after he'd lost all his hair. So I have some patients who have that type of hair loss, and I've managed to get them that medicine, and their hair is completely grown back. 7, 10, 15 years later.
It's an off-label usage for now?
It's an off-label usage. But there are clinical trials for both oral and topical versions of that medication. And then what also happens is that we start understanding the pathways that are being affected by hair growth and hair loss. And so even though that's a particular type, in the end, with alopecia universalis or alopecia areata, the hair becomes miniaturized. The follicle's not dead. It's not gone. It's just inactive. Same thing with androgenetic, the genetic pattern of hair loss.
And that's when you get older,
that's what
right?
I wanted to get to.
Yes.
I know a lot. That's what I hear from a lot of people.
Right. That's the second most common. So stress shedding.
The most common is stress?
Is the stress shedding.
And we got the autoimmune.
And the autoimmune is common, but it's just up there in category. But that's just a specific thing. But
we got the old heads.
But, you know,
speaking for myself,
even,
too.
No, but like it's not even like, you know, I see
But it's not old. It's in their 20s.
Yeah, 20s. You know, I see more and more women, especially men, you know, who are 19, 20 years old, and they are suffering from male pattern baldness.
This is true. Female and male pattern baldness have different patterns. So men tend to start with recession at the temples, and then it kind of goes to the crown, and then it kind of all meets up, and you lose your hair, and you keep it a little bit in the back. For women, we keep the frontal hairline and then we just diffusely thin in the crown.
Yeah, sure.
And there's patterned and non-patterned. But I have plenty of women in their 20s who have very severe hair loss. It's really as common in women as it is in men.
And this is genetic.
It's genetic. Mm-hmm. It comes from both sides of the family. I have patients who come in who insist no one in their family has hair loss. Why do they? And I say it's in your genes. It may not show
Even
in the relatives you
they're
see.
They're the chillest person. They meditate. They're really not
this
that person.
This is different.
Right.
Right.
They
so
can't help it.
It's not their fault. It's hormonal. And the thing is that stress may accelerate a genetic pattern. So
okay.
If you have a stress pattern, you can accelerate your hair aging. You know that stress can age you. Stress isn't always bad, but it can age you.
Right.
So we try to manage, even in those patients, their stress levels, because that's what we can control. So when I see someone who has that genetic or hormonal pattern of hair loss, what I do is I first obviously look at the scalp, make sure the scalp is overall healthy. I don't tend to do blood tests for most of these people because in 20 years of practice, 99% of the time, they come back normal. So either
like they don't have a vitamin deficiency,
no,
they don't have a disease.
And they don't have a hormonal imbalance.
Okay.
But what it is that either we're measuring the wrong hormones or we're in the wrong scale or the wrong metabolites. Our testing is not good enough to determine exactly what is off hormonally. And so I call it sometimes a local hormonal sensitivity, because in women who go through this, I sometimes see hair growth where we don't want it, like on the chin or on the arms and very thick hair growth. And then you see hair loss. You can have acne issues, an adult female pattern of acne where it's more along the jawline and the chin. And I know if I put them on a medication that blocks the male hormones, an anti-androgen, one that I like is called spironolactone, that can help preserve the hair on the scalp, reduce the hair growth on the face, and treat the acne and sometimes affect weight issues as well. But
do all those people have PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome? Is separate
no.
from that?
Well, sometimes they do, and spironolactone and metformin can help that. I have also started to use metformin, which is used against insulin resistance for my hair loss patients, because what metformin does is it helps improve oxygenation to the cells, and it's a great anti-aging drug, and it costs pennies. So even in patients who don't have insurance, it's not a particularly expensive drug, and I think it's great for anti-aging. So it's an off-label use. Both of those are off-label use,
yeah.
But we use things off-label actually most of the time as dermatologists.
So you're talking about, you know, we went straight to drugs, but you mentioned the three different types of hair loss. I know some people, we talk about this on the podcast all the time, hair loss vitamins, gummies, this,
yes.
that, the other thing, even special serums that are, you know, you can get at Sephora. Are these going to help any of the people we just spoke about?
Well, you're right. I did get a little bit ahead of myself in talking about the medications.
It's fine.
But
we'll jump right back. I just want to first
no,
go to
because
the...
You're right, because medications are not the first line, in my view, for most people. So the way that I do my assessment is I look at the scalp, I look at the hair, make sure that the scalp is overall healthy, the follicles are generally healthy, how if they're processing, over brushing, over treating their hair, doing things to their hair. So we talk about what they're actually doing. I don't mind hair coloring. I don't think that makes a problem worse. But if you're blow drying and pulling all the time, or you're using a lot of products in your hair that really cause breakage and dryness, so I try to look at the hair quality itself.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to nutrition, because nutritional support is one of the most important things you do. Actually, my line of the day, and I have to find a good tweet, a picture to post with it, is that if you want beautiful skin and hair, eat beautiful food. And what you put in your body helps your hair and your skin in such powerful ways. You need to be optimally metabolically balanced to help support your hair.
But how many Americans in the modern world are, have
well, they're
like,
not.
They're still not? Like, are you going to tell me eating bananas and kale and nuts and healthy fats is going to grow back my hair?
It can help, yeah, because you'll get enough
vitamin
D.
So you make everybody do that baseline before you even get into anything else?
No, I do a lot of things at once.
Yeah, okay.
I can only say one thing at a time.
Right, right, right.
And patients get impatient because they want to hear all
of it. But they shouldn't ignore
it.
That step.
But you cannot ignore it. And again, appearance has value. It gives communication about your overall health and
sure.
well-being. And you know why hair is so important for your self-esteem? Let's think about it. If you see an animal and it has a beautiful thick coat of hair, you think that animal is what?
Healthy.
Exactly. When you have a thick, beautiful mane of hair, we're DNA wired to see that as someone who's healthier and a more viable mate. That's why hair is so important. Thick, flowing hair.
Oh, you don't
gives...
have to tell us. We know.
I know. And that's just, we can't help ourselves. We just believe that. So, and we know it to be true. So that means that you have good nutrition and you're overall balanced. And so I think balancing nutrition is critical. And I talk about food all day long. You know, my dad was a doctor and he was really into nutrition. And we were raised on a diet that was very nutritionally balanced, packed with antioxidants, not a lot of animal protein.
But what about the gummies and things that Jess mentioned?
So those are okay as a supplement to a good diet. They're not a replacement. There's a few that I like. The gummies, I'm not a big fan of, but I do like Nutrafol and Viviscal. And then there's another one by ISDIN. It's a company from Spain called the Lambda Pill Kit.
I've heard about that.
And I have had more patients call me after using that kit. It's a shampoo, it's a spray, and it's a pill to tell me that their hair is growing back thicker and they just are so happy. So,
you hear that, guys? ISDIN Kit. Right?
Yeah,
ISDIN Kit.
We'll put it on the blog.
ISDIN, and it's the Lambda Pill Kit.
Lambda Pill Kit.
It is one of the best ones I've seen. I have Nutrafol, and I love that as well.
Okay.
That is very well sourced,
yes,
and it's a cocktail of different things. Viviscal is Amino Mar C. It's a fish protein along with silica and vitamin C. And these are all quite good, but they complement other things. I also have in-office treatments that I do that help hair.
We actually had a list of a couple of the different treatments we get asked about.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
ask
let's
away.
Run down them.
Let's go.
Yeah, the first one was minoxidil, the over-the-counter drug.
Perfect.
What's the deal with minoxidil? Is it for men, for women? How's it work?
So minoxidil, we're not exactly sure how it works, but it is the only FDA-approved drug for women for hair growth. And they did study. So initially, the minoxidil for women was 2%. And then they did another clinical trial. So these are FDA trials, which means they're blinded, placebo-controlled. You don't know if you're using that or the placebo, and the person judging doesn't know what you're using. So it's really blinded. And what they found was that in over 700 patients, 80% regrew hair, and the hair that regrew was up to 50% thicker.
Wow, that's pretty compelling.
And that's the 5% foam once a day.
So here's a question. If I hit, you know, a situation where I'm losing my hair, I'd want to be a little naughty and get the minoxidil for men.
Yeah, sure. It's over.
So what's
the difference? It's the same. They're both 5%.
So,
the only difference is packaging and directions on the box. For men, it's 5%
I bet we pay more. Pink tax. I bet you the women's one costs
maybe
more.
You
might check that.
I wonder if it's a more elegant
it's
formulation?
It's exactly the same.
Because it comes in a serum and a foam now, I think.
So
right?
the foam is the one they did the FDA trials for women. And I like the foam because the foam is heat activated. So when it hits your scalp, it melts into your scalp.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I
like
the
dripping
foam
around little serums and whatnot.
Okay.
And it's one time a day for women, two times a day for men.
Okay.
That's the only difference.
Well, I'd rather do it once than twice.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you know what? They would have wanted you to do it twice, but their study showed that it didn't make much difference. And so once a day is all you
don't
need.
Don't double up. You're just wasting your money.
And also, you're just, it's
seriously
work.
You know, people are always like, more is better.
Oh,
but
totally.
It's not.
That's
because,
me.
Trust me, they would have done it twice a day because obviously they want to sell more. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But once a day is all you
it
need
works
for women.
Are there any weird side effects?
Yeah. The problem, and people read it on the box and they come in and they panic because when you start using it, what happens is it pushes the hair into the growing phase. So we talked about that, right? But when you push your hair into the growing phase, then you're also pushing hair out. So in the beginning, as you start using it and the hair grows, you might notice for the first month a little bit of shedding. Mm-hmm. And people panic about that because they feel like their hair is going to fall out.
Oh, you lost the old ones because all these new ones are coming out.
Exactly.
That's
but
scary,
the hair that falls out is longer.
So stick with it.
Exactly. And the hair that grows in is short. So I always say if your hair sheds a little bit when you start using it, do that happy dance of hair growth because that means that better, thicker hair is growing in.
That is a hot tip, Dr.
Yeah. Day. So hair shedding is really, to me, a sign that you're going to get really great results from it. And the other complaint people have, which boggles my mind, is they say, oh, but wait, I have to use it forever. I'm like, well, what don't you do forever? I mean, if you don't eat, you get hungry. If you don't brush your teeth, they fall out. Like, you have to do everything forever. And the good news is, as long as you keep doing it, it will keep working.
Yeah, I know. People think they're cured like it's medicine. Like, I used it. It's grown in.
Yeah.
I'm done.
No, everything is. I would
Same
say you're stuck with
care,
me for
right?
life.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
There's no way around it. You have to use it forever. But it'll keep working. It doesn't stop working. And
okay.
I think that's the good thing.
So what about, we always hear about, well, let's talk about, let's just go to the hard stuff. Let's go to prescription, okay?
Okay.
You talked about spironolactone. I always hear about Propecia for men. What is Propecia and can women use it?
Propecia is, the generic name is finasteride. So this was a drug that was used in a 5 milligram dose for men who had enlarged prostates.
Is it a tablet or is it a liquid?
It's a pill. It's okay. A pill. And you take it by mouth, typically once a day. So in the 5 milligram dose for men, they noticed as a side effect they grew hair. But they also grew breasts. I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing. But the company, being smart, said, well, we'd like to grow hair and not have other side effects like erectile dysfunction and some other side effects. So let's try to find the lowest dose that will not have those side effects but still grow hair. And this Dr. Ken Wyshenik was head of dermatopharmacology at NYU. I've known him for 30 years. One of the smartest people I've ever met. He's now head of medical at Bosley. And so he did the clinical trials for the FDA for Propecia, and they found that the 1 milligram dose grew hair with essentially no side effects. So that means that 1 to 3% of men had erectile dysfunction, whether they were taking the pill or the placebo, the same number of men. So it's a little bit of a suggestible problem.
But can women take the finasteride?
Well,
again, it for me?
They did trials for women as well, and they fell below the margin to get the FDA approval. So it works for about 30% of women, but that's 70% it doesn't work for. And it does have side effects. So I don't prescribe it for women. I have plenty of women who take it, but a lot of doctors give women the higher dose, the 5% dose, not the 5 milligram dose, not the 1 milligram.
Without the side effects.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't prescribe it for women.
I'm going to ask a question on behalf of my dad. So my dad's been bald since like the 70s, maybe like the 80s. I used to always ask him where he lost his hair, and he'd tell me things like the ShopRite. Like I would have thought that it like fell off somewhere. If he took something like Propecia, would it grow back, or is it like, is there a cutoff date for some of these drugs? And I think this is applicable to other listeners, not just my dad.
Well, hi to your dad. I hope he's listening. And I'm
he's
sure he's
listening.
Very handsome still.
He's so cute.
I see some
he's
men just
really
don't
cute.
Need hair. They have good heads.
He doesn't. Yeah, he's got a great head. He doesn't need hair. Dad, love you.
Well, the general rule is you can go back about 5 years.
Okay.
So if he lost in the 70s, 5 years, he'll still be a still good head without hair. But yeah, you can go back about five years is what the expectation could be.
That's interesting.
And that's why you want to get it relatively early.
And go in and see a doctor.
Catch it early.
There's lots of treatments that we hear about that are like in-office treatments. Can I ask you about a couple?
Sure.
Or, you know, surgical treatments, actually. Remember Hair Club and hair plugs?
Yes.
What's the story? Are people still doing hair plugs? Have they advanced at all?
Or you said he's a member, too, or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
So those are either a form of like a toupee that kind of glues on, which is the hair club idea, generally, where they make you just a nice piece and you go in every 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the plugs.
But the plugs are now way advanced. Those are hair transplants. For a hair transplant, you need a good donor area. For men, it would be the area in the back. For women, too, it's the area in the back. Some people have better donor areas than others. But
what is a donor area?
A donor area,
it
means an area where you have hair that you're generally never going to lose. Right.
Oh,
so hair that is going to – exactly. And you'll harvest those hairs. Before, we used to do it as plugs and take out like clumps of 3 to 5 hairs and put those in, and you'd have like little sprouts. But then that didn't look very good or natural.
Yeah.
So now what they do is they can do two ways. You can take out a strip from the back of hair that you know is going to stay. Well, they numb it first. They're really nice about it. And then they break those up into units of 1 and 2 follicles. But you do end up with a scar in the back that's a very thin line because you take out the skin and the hair and then you push it back together. So you end up with a thin line. It's almost like a little bit of a scalp reduction. Not the worst thing. But some people don't want that thin line there. And so now what they do is follicular unit extractions, where you can go in and just actually take out individual hairs from the back, and it really doesn't leave a scar, and then you can transplant those in the front. Now, you do need a good doctor who knows how to design the transplant.
What kind of
transplant.
Doctor does that?
It's a dermatologist, typically. Huh. And the tech does most of the work. So the technician will help do the processing of the hair, but the dermatologist will determine that pattern of how it's going to frame your face. You cannot take a finite area of harvest from the back, right? You only have so many hair follicles in the back and think you're going to cover the entire scalp.
Mm,
so
God.
You're going to if you're lucky, you can just frame the front and sort of figure out a way to comb it so it looks nice and natural. And that's why not everyone is a good candidate for hair transplants. And you have to be careful in how it's done and who does it.
There's an art to it, I guess.
There is definitely an art to
I've
it.
I've seen some people that have it done and it looks like they have a Lego head. You know, like it looks like Lego
that's
hair.
It's true.
You know, like it looks like a little helmet.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Why is it so perfect? Why does it have to look so perfect?
That's the artistry.
You got to get a hairstylist in the room there to see, like, because hairlines aren't like that. Are
hairlines aren't
like
that.
Sally Hershberger up in there to be like, mess it up.
Yeah. Tassel it. Give it a shag.
Right? And doctors who do this, you want to go to a doctor who does this pretty much all the time.
Do they have portfolios of, like, before and after work?
They probably do, but I find that that's not that helpful because then people just show you the ones that they want to show you.
Interesting.
So you need to basically get a sense. You know, it's always good to go speak with a few doctors and then connect with that doctor and feel like they understand what it is you're looking for and let them draw the hairline on you.
So we got a couple of critiques recently for not – like shouting out prices of some of these kinds of procedures. Maybe you can't speak to this because you don't do it.
But I don't do it.
Do you even know a ballpark? That sounds like a house. The kind of
like $20,000.
No, I think it's probably about $6,000.
Oh, $6,000
for a session.
And once you
need two.
Okay,
That's a new head, really. You know?
We've also been hearing about lasers.
Right. So
can lasers help with hair loss?
There's two different types. So there's LED ones. I see commercials for Capillus and some other ones on TV. And those can help. Those are LED lights. They're FDA cleared to grow hair. So they have data that helps grow hair. But they work for some people better than others. You don't know who exactly it's going to work for. But at least the wavelength of light has FDA clearance. And the idea really is, again, it's improving circulation to the follicles, and hopefully that will help the hair grow. But we're not exactly sure how they work. I have a laser in the office called the Fotona laser. That's an erbium YAG laser that I've been doing for hair growth.
So this is an LED.
This is an actual laser. And it's in office. You need eye protection and everything. Mm-hmm. But I've had good results with that growing hair. And I combine it with PRP. Both of these treatments are off-label. But I've had good results with it.
That leads to our next question.
Nice segue, Dr. Day.
I try.
We hear a lot about PRP in our world. But what exactly is it and how can it treat hair loss?
PRP stands for platelet-rich plasma. And the way that it works is you come in, we draw blood, and different doctors will draw different amounts. I tend to do a little bit more. Then you put that in a centrifuge and you spin it down. When you spin it down, what you're doing is you're removing the red blood cells and white blood cells because those are more inflammatory. You don't want those. They're not helpful. And what you're left with on the other side is a beautiful golden color liquid that is just platelet-rich plasma. And that's packed with growth factors and all sorts of things that is basically fertilizer for the follicles. Then we go back and we inject those into the scalp, and that is helping to nourish those follicles and rejuvenate them. People use PRP. Some people mix it with other ingredients. I tend to double spin it, so I'll take out the white blood cells and red blood cells and some of the platelet-poor plasma. Then I'll spin it down and hyper-concentrate it and then inject it back. And I do that with the hair laser in the same session. And typically you do it once a month for 4 months, and then after that you see what you get. It works for about 85% of people. And once
what does works mean? Like, what is
they
that?
Grow hair. I mean, they grow.
Like their real
I posted
hair?
Pictures on my Instagram. It's their hair, and it tends to last. But you do have to do maintenance. So you have to come in just about twice a year to do a follow-up session to
Are
maintain
we buying
the
another
hair
another house here?
Yeah,
what's happening?
That was my next question.
So how much does it cost? It costs
ballpark.
I think it's about $800 or $900 a session.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And you'd have to do that. Twice at first and then twice
four
a year.
Four times at first.
Oh, got it, yeah.
And then twice a year to maintain it.
Still less expensive than the surgery.
Than a house.
And a house.
Yeah.
Well, the surgery is permanent.
Like a house. And I heard the hair transplant. I remember hearing like a big celebrity who I will not mention because I don't want to get sued. But
John and Kate plus eight. Didn't that guy have it?
No, a British singer,
okay.
A famous British singer. I remember hearing that he had a hair transplant like in the 90s and it didn't look good. But now I know
Can
lots
I guess?
Of people. Well, it's just a rumor. I heard he had it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know the answer.
I want to know.
A singer-songwriter who sits at a piano.
I was guessing Elton John. Yeah.
I
didn't say his
name. No, you're a reporter. You don't get sued
and
for
I have no idea.
I heard
so.
He had one.
Okay.
But I don't know if he
That's
really
why he loves
did.
A hat now, right? soften wearing
a
hat.
He's so talented. He could do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
He could get a.
And you know, men have a lot more options. Men can just shave their head. They can wear a hat, I guess. But they can go gray. Men have many more options. For women, I think, and I have a lot of young male patients who don't consider shaving their head or going bald or gray an option. So it really does affect men's self-esteem as well. But meanwhile, if you see a guy in the street and he's lost his hair, we don't judge or think anything of it.
No.
But for women, it's just not an option. Yeah. We can't go gray. We can't go bald. But women can wear hair pieces. You know, women can.
There are some good wigs and lace front. Do you ever suggest, like, send people
all day
to,
long?
Who's your favorite, like, wig maker?
I love two places. I love Helena's, which is on West 31st Street here in the city. And then Atsuko, who's at the Julian Pharrell Salon, makes incredible pieces. Like, you know, you see these all day long and you do not know that people are wearing things. It is just so much fun.
And that'll last you like years and years if you take
care
of it, right?
Years and years. And it's so kind of fun when you think about it. When you want
your
hair done, you just send your hair out.
Ariana
Grande, even her song's about like, you like my hair? Gee, thanks. Just bought it. You know?
And when you want to get your hair done, you just send your hair out.
It's funny.
I think hair should be an accessory. You know, you can have play hair. It can be blonde and long one day, short the next day. It's just another accessory like earrings or anything else you do. Women need to be more okay with that. But unfortunately, we associate wearing hair pieces with chemotherapy and hair loss for illness. Mm-hmm. And so it has a little bit of a stigma to it. And I'm not a huge fan of extensions because that will help you temporarily, but it does add weight. Wow. And that, I think, is a house. And you have to do that pretty often. And they make they make those extensions really tight in the beginning, which does pull on the hair. So I don't judge. I try to help my patients wean off them or just decrease the amount of hair that they do. So they end up going to so much density and length. And then over time, it's kind of like a drug. You never tend to want to do less. You always want to do more, more, more.
Like going blonde. Blonder.
Yeah. That's funny.
That would not work for me either.
Yeah.
So do you think, we talked about a lot of solutions. We talked about, you know, the cost of some of them. Do you think hair loss is optional for a lot of people?
That's a great question. No, I don't. I think that for some people, the genetic and lifestyle and everything push is so strong that it's a really tough battle to fight. And it's either so costly or so time consuming that it's just not possible to fight it. If someone is going bald in their 20s, especially for a guy, for women, I think we can fight it a little bit harder because we have other medications. I think we can slow it down to a large extent, but it's hard. As I think about it, I think about my worst hair loss patients. If money is not an issue, it's optional. If money is an issue, then it's a lot harder because and also side effects. Like, I have patients who are obsessed and they're horrified about their hair loss, but they are really more horrified about the side effects from Propecia and some of these other medications and spironolactone. Spironolactone has side effects. You know, you end up, you can faint. You have to be on high doses, and that can affect libido. It can make you dizzy. If you tend towards low blood pressure, you can't always take these medicines.
You're like laying down and not having sex ever again just for your hair. No thanks.
Right.
Like,
and for some people, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, right? Which is always takes me back to the other side of it. But the good news is, and there is really exciting news, is that there's money in hair, right? We talked about money, which means that there's research.
Things are always
and this research has been going on for 30 years. They are a millimeter away. They're just a hair, a fine hair away from having a cure. So we will have stem cells. We will have cloned hair, I predict, in the next 5 or so years. And then we can take one good hair, make you 10,000, and transplant that in the most beautiful way, and you'll have too much hair, and we'll all be complaining about how much hair we have.
Well, let's hope in like 5 years, if we're doing this show, we'll have you back on, and we'll talk
about
it.
Yes, we'll celebrate that.
Then we'll talk about something else, because hair loss won't be an issue.
Yeah, we'll do a throwback or something. But that's really, thank you for your honesty about like the situation here, because I think some people do, you know, they think, oh, if I just ate more protein or iron, or like, I'm such a stress case, and this is what, you know, they kind of blame themselves, and there's so many factors.
There's so many factors.
Or they blame their mom's mom, or, you know.
I blame my kids for everything.
Yeah, it's their fault.
My kids or my parents. It's like, it's never me.
This is really helpful. Thank you, Dr. Day.
It's so much fun to be here.
I'm ready to raise a wand, girl.
Okay, let's raise. First, I want to raise a wand to Dr. Day and all of that amazing knowledge about hair loss. I feel like this episode's going to get like linked and shared by so many people.
Well, there was a lot of useful information. It's a tough topic to talk about.
Okay, you know? Now
and to get real answers. You can go down an internet hole and want to like jump off a bridge.
So
you know?
Let's lighten things up. What do you raise a wand
okay.
to?
I'm going to pep things up real good.
I'm ready.
You know that brand, the Seaweed Bath Co?
Yes.
Did you ever mention them on this pod? I don't remember if you ever
don't
mentioned them.
Don't think so, but I know it well.
Okay. So I've always seen this brand, you know, for a few years I've seen it, and I never really got involved. Wow. I was so invigorated last night.
Did you take a – which product?
I took a shower at like 1 a.m. I felt kind of grimy. It was a long day. I was just
you didn't get home to like go to sleep until 1 a.m.?
No, I was busy until like 1 a.m.
Oh, wow.
I was preparing for the show. Okay. I was like – we were talking about this.
So
we're busy ladies.
What did you use in the shower?
I got in the shower and I had taken from work the Seaweed Bath Co. Hydrating and exfoliating eucalyptus and peppermint body scrub. There's something about the sea, and you know I love eucalyptus. You do too, right?
You're going to die when you hear what my raise wand is,
okay,
but keep going.
Okay, this is super weird.
Okay.
I love eucalyptus, like, more than anything. I love my eucalyptus diptyque candle.
This is so weird. Okay, keep going.
I love, like, you know, koalas. I love you. I love
you. No, you hate koalas because they eat all your eucalyptus.
Oh, this is so cute. Okay. Yeah. So I love eucalyptus. I was scrubbing my body with this. It was foaming. I felt like it was cleansing. You know, sometimes scrubs don't feel like they're cleaning.
Yes, yes.
This, I felt, I used it as soap, except for like on my bits, you know?
Uh-huh.
It was so good. And I slid into bed, like into home plate.
Cool and refreshed.
Cool, refreshed, and ready to start the day for tomorrow.
Are you ready for my raise a wand?
Yeah.
So Necessaire came out with body shower gels.
Yeah.
And the eucalyptus one is amazing.
This happens all the time. Readers, listeners, audience, we did not plan this.
Necessary. I've tried some of the products, whatever. I was like, oh, it's just going to be a shower gel. Eric and I love this shower gel. It's like also like a boy-friendly kind of scent. I feel
okay.
like the eucalyptus
yeah,
is
totally.
Like cool and a little bit like herbal and very aromatic in that herbal kind of
yeah.
way, but like refreshing, but not in the way that a peppermint body scrub sometimes you don't want to be cold. Like
yes.
they make you cold and you're like, I'm taking a warm shower.
You're
this
freezing.
Is too much.
You're like hiding
you
in the corner.
You get a little bit of that vibe,
yeah,
but
yeah.
without a ton of it. And then Necessaire is like, I don't know, it just foams up nicely, but in a slippery way, very moisturizing.
I've gotta
but
try
the
it.
Scent. I think there's something about eucalyptus. You just feel like you're in a spa.
You feel like cleansed inside and out.
Yeah, like you had a hard day at work.
Yeah.
Jump in the shower with some eucalyptus. Am I right?
It's so good. I can't. Good on you. It's let's do prices.
Okay. Oh.
Mine, yours is probably a little bit more luxe. $12.99 is Seaweed Co.
But how many ounces?
I don't know, but okay. I definitely used a double
bucks.
Helping last night.
This one's $25, but I will say it's been in our shower 3 weeks, and we both are using it, and there's still like a quarter of a bottle left.
Okay.
You don't need a lot to get a nice suds up with the little loofah business.
Okay, nice.
Eucalyptus. Everybody get on the eucalyptus tip.
Choo-choo.
Oh, or train. Oh. Sure. I went with tip, but okay.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM, and we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.